go over to
First of all,
Harold
allow
after.
me to thank the good people of Supraprovision for electing me to come and stand in this honorable house to represent them and to defend all the manufacturing of figures and inaccuracies that I just heard. And I will do that. Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, sorry. I have to make the point. For the first time in 30 years since independence, we have a situation in the House of Parliament of this country where a Prime Minister and his cabinet presented a budget and they are afraid of the people to defend the budget. Mr. Speaker, this morning, the Prime Minister stood and was prepared to bring closure to the debate, afraid to talk about it. But we are prepared, and we are ready. And that is an indictment against you, Mr. Prime Minister. Because if the member for Kashmir East had not stood, the budget debate would have been closed by now, and you would have denied the people of St. Lucia of an opportunity to listen to the shenanigans and all of the hidden figures and the corruption embedded in what is called the budget. Indictment against you, Honorable Prime Minister. Honorable Prime Minister, I'm going to be very honest with you. You are a good man, and I respect you, but you don't get it. But I'm going to say to you, you see on this side, we have more respect for you. Because when we stand...
Honorable Member, you must address the House and the Speaker, the Deputy Speaker, and not the person in question.
Very much obliged, Mr. Speaker. Honorable Speaker. I was making the point, Honorable Speaker. Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker. I was saying to the Prime Minister, when we have something to say about him, we say it here, we say it on the platform, we say it on the radio. When we have issues with him, we say it in those same places. But when they have issues among his own members, they don't say it to him. And Mr. Honorable Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker, through you, this might be the last budget presentation of the Prime Minister. And I want him to take note of that, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, let me go and rebut and rebuff some of what I heard the member for Denry North said. Mr. Speaker, I wonder whether the member for Denry North is a resident of the world. Where he came from? Where he came from? What part of the Milky Way and the galaxy he came from? He doesn't understand. Here on one, he's standing here and boasting the Prime Minister. A very good budget, the same thing he did the last time, no different. The Prime Minister is the best Prime Minister, the best budget. This was the same member who was prepared, or had actually, I'm not too sure which one, written to the Governor General to remove the Prime Minister from office. Can you forget that? The point is that the honorable member was boasting and gloating about the Prime Minister. And my point is, it is hypocrisy. And there is a lot of hypocrisy in this budget. Mr. Speaker, the member for Denry North spoke about the Development Bank. Spoke gloriously about the bank. Mr. Speaker, can we imagine? The honorable member trying to tell St. Lucians that it is a good thing to create a development bank in St. Lucia right now. Throughout the world, bank upon bank upon bank, evaporating, disappearing. Throughout the world, banks and banks and financial institutions after financial institution collapsing. And you're telling me that it is a good thing to come and start a development bank in St. Lucia? the global environment does not encourage anybody to start any kind of financial institution at this time. Because the crisis is felt throughout the world, and it extends to every sector. Mr. Speaker, the member does not understand the economics. And he tried to tell those of us on this side, we don't understand economics. The only economics that the member understands, Mr. Speaker, is voodoo economics. Economics that just does not make sense. You can't tell me that it is a good thing to have a bank in St. Lucia. When the $20 million, Mr. Speaker, that was injected by the government is finished, I want to know what is going to happen. Are we going to come back to this honorable house and ask for more money to put in that development bank? I want to find out. Because you know that development banks throughout the world have a very high rate of delinquency in payment. That is why the first one was closed down. Because people say, Jay Bank, Gouvernement. Loans up, that is why. That is the reason why it was closed. And you want to make it a point you want to highlight? What the member for Denry North did not say, Mr. Speaker, is that it was the Labour Party who created the Bank of St. Lucia. He said they did nothing. Who created the Bank of St. Lucia? The Bank of St. Lucia made over $30 million profit in the time of crisis. There are St. Lucians who have shares in the bank and are earning dividends, which you all want to tax.
Deputy Speaker, that is absolutely inaccurate. The point of correction, the Honourable Prime Minister made no such statement and was specific in saying that these taxes of dividends do not apply to locals.
Mr. Speaker, the point is, if you are able to elucidate, you will understand the point I was making, which I have not finished, when I was rudely interrupted. The point is, you see, you start with foreigners, and you move in the progression. Then regional people, and then locals. That's the point I'm making. That is the point I am making. And I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, the Honourable Member Oshwesias. Madam, Honourable Mr. Speaker, I have never had a brain bypass. And I suspect all of the members on the other side have had one, because they don't seem to understand anything. Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, the Honourable Member is trying to suggest that public servants should invest at least $100 to form a cooperative to start a textile manufacturing enterprise in Tenry. Mr. Speaker, in this time where demand for all products is decreasing, in a time when importation of material is increasing, in a time when markets are contracting, who in the world will want to invest in an enterprise that has proven to fail because of the very same reason that I just mentioned? There was no demand for the products of Bell Fashion. The cost was too high. And now you are saying people should go and invest it. The point I want to make, is that a reality? Or is it just another flashing mirror, as the member for Castries East alluded to? Mr. Speaker, I'm getting used to you now. I now move on to some of what I heard from the member for Castries South East. He said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. Mr. Speaker, that applies to the minister himself. Because, Mr. Speaker, I did not eat okros upstairs today. I don't know whether he ate okros. Gabo kaba ou langlise. So he said anything that came from his mouth. I looked at him as a manufacturer of numbers. Mr. Speaker, in a debate at that level, you do not come and just quote figures from anywhere. In a debate, you have to come with the source of the figures that you are quoting. You have to put it in context. So all the numbers I heard, I wonder whether they are authentic, because there is no evidence provided to substantiate the claims and the 40 million and the 80 million. Nobody knows whether it's true or false. So I call him a manufacturer of figures. He manufactured those figures for him to sound good. And he believes when you stand up and you say something louder, it makes sense. You have to substantiate it, provide the evidence. To have no confidence, as I have none in this budget, no confidence in the figures that he quoted. And St. Lucians will not be fooled by those figures. Because St. Lucians know for a fact that when this government took office, there was a surplus of almost $40 million. I stand corrected on the actual figure. But there was a surplus. I stand corrected, so correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me to give me the actual figure. I stand corrected, Mr. Speaker. What happened to the surplus that this government inherited? What happened? Mr. Speaker, all those flashing numbers all over the place, But what the minister will not see is that there was a road built, a section of the Grosile Highway, from Shock to Grosile. He will not tell you how much it cost. But the road was built. No sidewalks. No provision for water. Water pipes. No telecommunication provision, pipes run in the road. Just the overlay of the road. Ask the minister if it didn't cost him more than $6 million. Ask him, and he's talking about cost overrun. Ask him from Shock to Grosile, just to surface the road, $6 million. Ask him if that is not correct. Mr. Speaker, the minister failed to contextualize the debt that he spoke about. What you need to do, if you want to be genuine with the listeners to the Honorable House, Mr. Speaker, you contextualize it. What was the debt situation in the OECS and the Caribbean at the time? What was it? It was not only St. Lucia that was borrowing money. So you make a comparative analysis and you said, but he's not going to do it because he does not want himself to sound bad. He wants to sound good, so he quotes a whole bunch of big figures, and then at the end of the day, these figures just do not add up. Mr. Speaker, what the member did, the member forecast himself, he inoculated this government from anything. So whatever this government does not do, it's because of the Labour Party, or it is because of the global economic situation. It is not because of nothing that this government is not doing. And that is the picture he tried to paint. He said the debt grew by 1.4%. Somebody tell me what was done in St. Lucia. Having incurred an increase in the debt by 1.4%, what was done? Name me one project of significance. Honorable PM, tell me, please, Mr. Speaker, through you. Tell me. What have you done? Kisa wafe. You blame
the previous administration, and you cannot tell me for borrowing. But you have borrowed too. Today or tomorrow, in this debate, you are going to borrow $196 million. And who has the audacity to come and talk about debt? You are increasing the debt in this session of the House by $196 million. You will... 265? I sound corrected. Going to borrow 265. And we have the audacity to talk about debt? Mr. Speaker, St. Lucia had the best record in the Caribbean with the EU funds. The best record. The honorable member should know that there was a bottleneck with SEDEX for a number of years. And the monies were not flowing. The honorable member for Babondo, Minister of Agriculture, knows that. That the system was clogged. It was clogged for a number of years through no fault of St. Lucia. But the question is, if the EU had free money, how much of that free money have you obtained to do something of significance in St. Lucia? That is the question. What have you done? What have you done? Borrowing $260-something million. You have to borrow that to finance your budget. Mr. Speaker, let me tell you that the Labour Party administration, the money they borrowed was what you call productive debt in economics. You call that. You have unproductive debt and productive debt. When you borrow money, and the money generates economic activity, it generates employment, it generates economic growth, it builds the foundation for future generations. When you borrow money for that, that is good debt. That is good debt. And let me show you, let me tell you, in case the members opposite are suffering from amnesia, let me tell you what was done with the money that they claim that the Labour Party borrowed. And it was reckless borrowing. And I want to tell me whether the projects I'm going to list were wasted projects, was a waste of money. The ports. I heard somebody trying to deny the fact that it was the Labour Party that expanded the port at Point Serafin. Mega ship could not have come there before 1996. Not an investment? Doesn't that take money? Could the economy of St. Lucia generate the amount of money expended at Point Serafin, La Carinage? Today, it is that investment that is saving the country. Because it is cruise ships, those huge mega ships, that bring people in St. Lucia and cause this economy to still be alive, no matter how much they have tried to kill it. The fire stations, forgetting. Fire stations, even in Miku, they're about to build a fire station. Of course you have to borrow to build it. And if that was a waste of borrowing, tell me. The police stations that were rehabilitated, a waste of money? I am showing to you, Mr. Speaker, I'm telling you that the debt was productive, and I'm going to continue. The new hospital, the infrastructure for the new hospital. I heard the Minister of Health trying to say that he was just walking in town, something like he said on the news, that he was the one who went to the EU, and without the knowledge of the Prime Minister, he was able to get the loan. Am I correct? If I'm wrong, tell him wrong, I will withdraw.
Mr. Speaker, this is very incorrect, and I would like him to withdraw the statement because this was never said, and he cannot.
What is correct? What is correct?
Your statement saying that I walked down the street and I was able to get the loan. Mr. Speaker, in my presentation, I will explain to you how this money came to St. Louis.
What is correct?
It is incorrect, and you should withdraw it. Mr. Speaker, what the Honourable Minister for Sufre said is incorrect. I will explain in my presentation, but Mr. Speaker, it is incorrect, and you should withdraw the statement.
Mr. Speaker, if you would allow me to continue, after he rudely interrupted me and cannot give me any, because I admitted that I stand corrected. So if he's going to say on a point of order, he will only stand to correct me, because I admitted that I stand corrected. More than that, Mr. Speaker.
Continue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, if you allow me to continue, I'm going to say further that this was what was reported in the media in St. Lucia. That's where I got it from. So if I'm incorrect, don't blame me alone. I was a victim of misleading information from other sources. Mr. Speaker, to continue, the cricket ground. Boy, how can... Mr. Speaker, if you are guided by your conscience, and your conscience is wrongly directed, you go the wrong direction, you know. How can these members on the other side talk about death and they're inheriting super infrastructure, a stadium? This stadium today, everything that happens in St. Lucia is at the stadium. This is the same government that was against the national stadium. Criticize it. So when we borrowed, we can show you what we did with the money. That's what I'm doing, and I'm going to continue. Mr. Speaker, the road network in St. Lucia, primary and secondary road, and if the Minister of Communication and Works were here, he would have agreed that the majority of the primary and secondary roads in this country are in good condition. In Sufra, I can name a few for you in Sufra. Built by the Labour Party from the borrowing. Bouton Road, Fosse Jacques, Chateau Belair, all these roads from my constituency. And every member around the table can tell you all the roads. Wagen Road. This didn't just come there fly by night. And the economy of St. Lucia at that time could not sustain all of this massive expansion and rehabilitation of so many roads. That is where the money went. That is productive debt. Generated employment. And you know what employment does? Mr. Speaker, let me give this Honorable House a lecture in economics. Productive debt. Mr. Speaker, I suspect the presence of us on this side serve as some kind of antidote for the moon tablet that this Honorable Member took. Because he has been disturbing throughout the afternoon. Throughout the afternoon, he has been doing that, Mr. Speaker.
Honorable Member, you must be very careful with the language you use in the House when referring to members.
I oblige, Mr. Speaker. But the member has been interrupting for the afternoon. I've never heard him say anything anywhere outside of this Honorable House. But today is vocal. And hence the reason why I use the phrase mumu tablet. I will not say it again. The secondary schools. 5 new secondary schools. How you expect them? Where the money come from? Eh? But it's borrowing. Talking it's borrowing. It's debt you're talking about. That's what you're talking about. 5 new secondary schools. Where did you expect the money? How realistic are you when you accuse this government of debt? The evidence is there to show where the money went. And don't worry with the minister when he talks about debt. Everything is debt. That's the only thing. Before he was cost overrun. Now it's debt. Productive debt. You must borrow to run a country, especially in a global situation as it is today. And I'm saying it today, Mr. Speaker, that this government is going to come back to this house almost every month to borrow money, henceforth. Trust me on that. Health centers throughout the island. Repairs. National skills program. developed. It took money. All of the social programs, how were they funded? BNTF, poverty reduction. How were they funded? How were they funded? Primary schools, the Dempalet School, 1,000 students, to stop a perennial problem that previous Flabo administrations could not resolve, the SHIP system. They could not do it, Mr. Speaker. So how do you expect that that school was built? How? The foundation is there. A new prison. Equality, what you want, the evidence is that you have a place where after a certain period of time, some of us will end up there. And I only hope that the minister who just interrupted me is not one of them, or I don't meet him there. Mr. Speaker, this government refuses to give the Labour Party administration credit for the new hospital. They refuse to do it. Why? Who built the road to the new hospital? Who bought the land? Who did all of those things? Who did the first design? Mr. Speaker, can you remember, Mr. Speaker? Can you remember, Mr. Speaker, that the Honorable Minister of Health, together with the Taiwanese ambassador, when they first visited the mental hospital, they said at the time that the mental hospital was too big. And the plan was to do some renovations at Victoria Hospital and to use a portion of the mental hospital as a new hospital. They will not say that. But the point is, where did the money come from for the infrastructure? The water, the electricity, the site? Where did it come from? How do you expect a government to do so much and not to borrow? Productive debt. And what Honorable Mr. Speaker, what they are trying to do is to vilify the achievements of the Labour Party administration. I will not stand there and defend that. Give Jack his jacket. We borrowed money, yes, we borrowed money. But the evidence for the use of the money is all over the place. The foundation for the future. What have you all done in 2.5 years? Tell me one thing. Mr. Speaker, this is what, and these figures I'm going to quote, Mr. Speaker, these figures are coming from the Social and Economic Review from 2005 to 2007. And all of these are documents of the House from last year, Mr. Speaker, if you remember. Economic growth. Because you have to understand how the economy works. You inject money, people go and spend, they create demand. As you create demand, suppliers must respond by producing more. As they produce more, they have to employ more people. There is more money in circulation. There is an invisible hand in the economy. Money flows in a circular. And what you need to do is to invest to expand the flow, expand it. And that is what the debt did for St. Lucia. That is what the debt did for St. Lucia. Economic growth in 2005, 4.6. 2006, 5.4. In 2007, went down as soon as they came in. With $40 million surplus, went down. The balance of payments in 2006, 18.1 of GDP. 47.4 in 2007. Unemployment, Mr. Speaker, the budget is silent on unemployment. The minister, the prime minister has not said one statement about how he is going to create unemployment or employment for the young people in this country. It is silent. I want to know, Mr. Speaker, how much, by how much, by how many percentage points did unemployment either increase or decrease in the last year? The budget is silent on it. Mr. Speaker, I see you looking at the clock. But I have not even started my contribution, you know. I'm just rebutting. I'm just rebutting. And I only hope there will be good sense to give me an extension. That's true. You have to save the country from me. Because the country understands that what I am saying there is not just flashing mirrors. You see the hospital, you see the new schools, you see the Ministry of Communication and Works, a huge building. He is criticizing the ministry. So why doesn't he leave it and go? A brand new building, just leave it and go. A brand new building for the Ministry of Communication and Works. Where was the ministry before? Where was it housed? But, Mr. Speaker, it is because the ministers on the other side, they have a kind of a tea-boutique mentality, and everything should remain the same. We modernized this economy, transformed it, telecommunications, expansion, and most importantly, we paid our public servants. We gave them 10% and we paid for it. We paid for it. You can't boast of that. You can't boast of that, Mr. Speaker. So, these are some of the issues raised in by the two previous speakers on the other side. Mr. Speaker, the member for Denver North said this morning, no bluff, but that's a bluff budget. That is a bluff budget. Mr. Speaker, if we have to go through this economic crisis, we need to have confidence in this government. We need to have confidence in the leadership of this country. We need to have confidence in the ministers that they know what they are doing. And Mr. Speaker, on the basis of what I have seen, they don't have an iota of knowledge as to what they are doing, as to what they want to do, because all I see is a whole bunch of unrealistic proposals in the budget that will do us no good. And the member for Castries East and the member for Castries South spoke about all of the promises that were said, that were made before. They spoke about all of them. Tunnel galore, new dam, new airport. They spoke about it. I'll not repeat it. But I will not repeat it. Mr. Speaker, the issue of confidence is important at this time. Because if there is no confidence in the government, then investors will not come to this country at a time when we really need them to come. Mr. Speaker, if there is a perception of infighting among members, Mr. Speaker, don't worry what you see here about the collegiality among members there, you know, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, behind the scene, there is more fighting and quarreling. It's like a whole bunch of crabs in a barrel, pricking each other's eye behind their back. Fighting. All kinds of reports, Mr. Speaker, about this government. Reports of incompetence. People are saying that all over the talk shows. They call every day and they say it. Inefficiency. Is that global? You blame everything on the global environment. Is incompetence global? Is inefficiency global? Is corruption global? Is wastage? And I heard the Prime Minister said in the budget he's going to curb on wastage. He's admitting that there is wastage. That's not global. Instability, division. These are not global issues, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, you keep looking at the clock. Mr. Speaker, I am saying to this government, if there is a crisis and all they can do is to identify the problems accompanied by the crisis, then get out. Because it is one thing to talk and talk about the crisis and do nothing about the crisis. There is a crisis. The honorable member for Catholic office blamed the Labour Party for the crisis of the world. That's what he was trying to say. We borrowed and therefore they cannot do nothing. But I told you what the borrowing did for the country. All they had to do is to build on it. So I am saying again, if they cannot manage the crisis, Mr. Speaker, a good leader shows his powers and his skills in a crisis situation. You don't blame. Leaders don't blame. And the Labour Party has managed crises. The collapse of the banana industry from 1992. That's what the evidence will show. From 1992. That was a crisis. WTO voted against the region. That was a crisis. The Labour Party managed that crisis. And so we had to move into a transition. And through the ingenuity of the member for Castries East, through the creativity of the Labour Party government, managed it, and we saw economic growth increasing year after year. But that's not the only crisis. There was a crisis when the Labour Party came in office in 1997. A barrel of oil was $27. When the Labour Party left in 1996, a barrel of oil was $87. What does that say? What does that say? 2006. Turn corrected. In 2006, that there was an increase of over 300% in the price of oil. That was a crisis. You didn't hear we blame, complain? We manage it. Astute leadership of the honorable leader of the opposition managed the crisis. We managed it. All this crisis. 9/11 was a crisis. Who in the world doesn't understand that 9/11 was a crisis? Only the member for Castries East, Southeast. It was a crisis. Every country in the world was almost shut down. What did we do? We didn't come and complain. We managed it and created more wealth, created more employment, expanded the economy, construction rose, manufacturing improved, every sector improved. And then you want to blame everything that's happening now on the global crisis? Mr. Speaker, if this government cannot handle the economy, they have to get out. And if they're talking about retrenchment as some kind of measure, I am saying to them, retrench yourselves first. The first set of people to retrench yourselves because you're not performing. Retrench yourselves because you're not performing. Mr. Speaker, in the last budget, my friend, the Honorable Member for Shozel, described the budget as a karaoke budget. I don't know what he's going to say this year, how you call this one. But the fact is that all of the members on the other side are karaoke singers, singing karaoke, because they all are inept, they do not have the basic skills to understand the figures, and what they do is to report on what the same public servants they do not want to pay. Listen to them. And some of them come here with notes and their presentation prepared by the same public servants they want to castigate at this point in time. Mr. Speaker, allow me to proceed and read from the estimates. It's already a document of the House. Page 540. Honorable Member, please assist me. Page 540. And it has to do with a big bluff. You said this. The Honorable Member for Denver North said this morning, Mr. Speaker, that there was no bluff in this budget. And I'm talking about a monument for Sir John. A monument for Sir John. Mr. Speaker, you know what? The member for Miku North. The member for Miku North. I respect her because she attempted to make a very salient point. She was trying to say that if you are going to build a monument for Sir John, then it should, things are so bad. $1.2 million is just too much money to take from the public purse. And what you are saying, allow the private sector to do it. I respect her for that. That is important. But Mr. Speaker, here is the bluff. Here is the bluff. And I hope the message will be communicated. Mr. Speaker, where is the money coming from for the monuments? From the CDB and from the IDA, the Caribbean Development Bank, and in the International Development Agency. That's why I call it a bluff. Because the CDB will not, Honorable Mr. Speaker, the CDB will not give you a loan to build a monument for a former Prime Minister. Neither the IDA. It's a bluff. And they know they will not get the money borrowed from any of these institutions. If they were genuine about Sojourn, they would not kill his legacy and put a bluff in the budget to pretend as though they want to honor Sojourn. I will not say what the Honorable Minister said. I will not say that. That is the truth. You're going to borrow, and you're talking about debt to build a monument for Sojourn? You love Sojourn so much? Call on the private sector and in joint partnership, build the monument, because when we get in office, we're going to build a monument for him. But we're going to get the money from the private sector, who he created, he supported, and who created the facility for them to expand in the 10 years we were in the office. You'll have done nothing for the private sector. And I'm certainly sure some of them will gladly contribute towards that project. And that is why I respect. Mr. Speaker, there is something I said in the budget last year, and I want to bring it back to in this budget. It has to do with the Leon Hess boogie. All we hear about was the Leon Hess. Mr. Speaker, I asked the question last year. When the Prime Minister in his budget last year, and I can quote for you, Mr. Speaker, if you're going to allow me the time, I can inform this Honorable House that the sale to Hess of the additional lands required to enable this venture is virtually complete. So the minister, so that this government sold land belonging to NIC to Leon Hess, with the anticipation or with the agreement that Leon Hess was going to build a refinery of almost $1 billion. National Insurance Corporation. That's what it means. Every little child knows that. That is, it belonged to them, and he sold it. I asked the question last year, and I'm asking the question today again. Are you going to repossess that land? Because you were duped. You sold land. Land belonging to the contributors of the NIC to Hess, with the notion that they're going to invest in St. Lucia. And only to find it was a bluff. And you did nothing, and then you sold the land, precious land, private land. And land is getting scarce in St. Lucia, and you sold it to them. And today, and the Prime Minister making everybody. I know a fella who had 3 cows, he sold 2 cows, so he can begin to buy 2 trucks because he's coming to St. Lucia, because on a false promise. Mr. Speaker, a friend called you, sir. Mr. Speaker, Wasco, the minister responsible for Wasco told St. Lucians that they have to abort the project, the Wasco privatization initiative, because of whatever. My question to the Honorable Minister is, have you told the people the truth? Did you tell them why the government was about to face a court battle with the investors? Why? I want to know, what did the government do that was wrong, that caused the potential investors wanting to take the government to court. You see, decision making, Mr. Speaker, when you can make decisions properly, there are consequences. And this whole WASCO fiasco is one. I am waiting for an explanation. I am not satisfied. I am not satisfied with the explanation of the Prime Minister, that the Minister for Communication and Works. Mr. Speaker, public assistance. I see on page 42 in the budget, page 42, and the Prime Minister is trying to deny it. Mr. Speaker, the point we were making this morning is that if there is an existing list of people under the program, public assistance program, and there is a mechanism in place which describes and dictates how persons get on that list. And in this budget we are hearing it is going to be changed, giving the Prime Minister the power to appoint a committee to look into who qualifies or to review the list. Am I correct now? To review the list. That's bad. Because you are politicizing the blight of the poor people. It's bad and it's wrong. Let the professionals...
Honorable member, you have 15 more minutes in which to complete your contribution.
Mr. Speaker, I beg to move that Stein Euler's Section 210 be invoked to allow the honorable member from Sufria an additional hour to complete this presentation.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, I beg to move that the relevant standing orders be invoked, or shall we say set aside, so that we can allow the member from Sufria an additional hour.
Members, there are two motions put forward. I would like to refer to the first one. Would you like to make a condemnation? All those who are in favor, I would like to make the motion and the notion on the first one. All those who are in favor of the member for Sufria having an additional 1 hour to complete his contribution, say aye.
Aye.
All those who are contrary, say no.
No.
I think the no's have it.
Mr. Speaker, can we have a division?
You ask, Mr. Clerk, can you...
The Honourable Member from Beaufort South, how do you...
Aye.
The Honourable Member from Laboury.
Aye.
The Honourable Member from Shuzdal. The Honourable Member from Sufria.
Aye.
Denry South. The Honourable Member from Denry South. Miku South. The Honourable Member from Miku South.
No.
That's not the motion. The Honourable Member from Beaufort North.
Aye.
From Babono.
No.
Castries North.
No.
Castries East.
Aye.
Since there were five on each side, it's then left to the chair, the speaker. On the standing order 32, which deals with the rules of debate, and on the subsection which gives the chair the right to adjudicate in matters of this kind, I would allow the member 30 more minutes to complete his contribution, which includes which 30 more minutes plus the 15 minutes which he has the right to. So he has 45 minutes to complete.
Mr. Speaker, I will not even speak about the procedure. I will just move on because time is of essence for me. And somebody's mic. Honorable Speaker, Mr. Speaker, your mic is. Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I know when facts coming down on people's heads, you want to run. So I was making the point about public assistance. I was saying that it is bad and it is also wrong to create any situation where the process is going to be politicized. Allow the professionals to do it. The social workers, they are the best person to say who deserves and who does not deserve. It is not the church, it is not the Chamber of Commerce. The people on the ground, they are the ones who go to the homes and they make the assessment and they know whether these people, there is no need to change the system. That's my point. Mr. Speaker, the poverty index for St. Lucia, and let me explain what I mean by poverty index. It is the possibility of somebody in St. Lucia falling into poverty. The index is 40.3. Mr. Speaker, what is it that this government has put in place? What is it to help the poor people? The UHP, the Universal Healthcare Project, which the Labour Party started, where people, poor people, would not have had to pay for medication. Person suffering with diabetes, sick do, mungkin ni pressure, mungkin we doctor, and set in hospital la, and set the health center, pas de ni pour payer l'argent. You take it out. You have done nothing about it. And you have said about it. Nous commençons. Fini, that's all we are saying, Mr. Speaker. And you're talking about you care and concern as a caring government. Mr. Speaker, they come with something called hope. I hope it's not dope, they meant. Hope is a motorboat, Abraham, Mute, bicycles, and brakes. That's what they say. Are you all talking about sending people to Golden Hope? The honorable member from Castries South told you about comparison between STEP and the Hope program. Why did you do that? What is wrong? We're calling on the government to bring back the STEM program in the same manner that it was. That's what we are saying. Bring it back the same way. And nomenclature or anything will not change it. Bring it back. Mr. Speaker, last year the honorable member for Grozi Lane spent almost an hour and a half talking about a Puente project. Kote, where's the Puente project? He also spoke about a Kudme project. Where are those projects? P-U-E-N-T-E, how you pronounce it? It's a Chilean concept. We spoke, Mr. Speaker, I can, page 40, sorry, page of the last budget. 20, thank you. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Where is the project? Project designed to, the project, nothing. The only time that project was mentioned is in this honorable house. In the last budget, and nothing designed to help poor people. So how do I have confidence that hope will ever be implemented? Mr. Speaker, let me run quickly and go to page 45 in the Prime Minister's budget. The honorable member for Castries East spoke about it, but I want to elucidate, I want to go into more detail, Mr. Speaker. The roads, talking about the roads. Let's look at the roads. The road from Des Moines to Geno is in the constituency of the Minister of Communication and Works. The road from Bocage to Sunbelt, and Bocage is there only because Bocage is part of the whole length of the road, the Prime Minister. The road from Masha to Entipo, Honorable Philip J. Pierre. The Sonny Acres Road, the Prime Minister. The Chef Harry Drive Road, Minister of Communication and Works. Cedars to Sunville, the Prime Minister. Lanshaw to Calvary, in the Prime Minister's constituency. The Mourn Apartment Road, in the Minister of Communication and Works constituency. The St. Alphonsus Community College, in the Minister of Communication and Works constituency. The Bize to Carrelly to Chess Gardens Road, in the Prime Minister's constituency. The Chess Garden to York Hill Road, in the Prime Minister's constituency. The road from Bocage to Mondidon, in the Prime Minister's constituency. The road from Lesedan to Cedars, in the Prime Minister's constituency, shared by the member for Central Castries. The road from Kaye Road, the Kaye Bitbutai Road, in the Prime Minister's constituency. All the roads, two constituencies benefiting. And the other members, you're not fighting for roads for your constituency. Mr. Speaker, there's a road in Soufre, the Esperance Road. I have spoken about it. I have spoken about that road. The Minister of Communication and Works came down to Soufre. I took him along that road to see how deplorable the road is. She made an experience that mauvais. And you know what the minister did, Mr. Speaker? And I don't need to do it again. He doesn't do it again. Because as a member for Castries was saying, you have to respect us. The people voted for us. Joseph, vote down, respect them. Respect the member from South Castries. Respect the member from Castries East. Respect us. The minister is coming to do a site visit in Soufre. At the front of his vehicle, he has the Senator Gaspar Charmain sitting at the front of his vehicle coming to do what is Senator Gaspar Charmain doing on the site visit. And you know what? When they were coming to Soufre, he went into Bouton. I am not in the vehicle, but who is in the vehicle? The Minister and Senator Gaspar Charmain. Senator, Mr. Speaker, the UWP candidate. That's said to me. Which means that I never went to Bouton.
Mr. Speaker, on a point of order, the member from Soufre is straying. This matter concerning someone being in the front of a vehicle on site visits has very little to do with this matter. So I'd like us to really put the member in order.
Mr. Speaker, sorry, I wanted to rule this.
You should just refrain from mentioning names of persons that are not in the house.
I would like to thank you very much. But I will continue. Because this is a serious issue about this budget. If you're going to spend taxpayers' money, we are the elected parliament. We are the ones in this house. We are the ones who should be at the forefront of understanding and communicating to the members of government as to what we want in our constituencies. Not the losing candidate. That's unfair. That's unfair, Mr. Speaker. I have to speak about it here. We went to Esperance. And the minister was there. He saw the people in Esperance, Mr. Speaker. C'est mon passage la caillou. Yo ne vous allez pas sourire. Yo ne pouvez aller en l'église. Yo ne vous appuie yo pour marcher chez Mendesan. Et bien, on l'a pour un caillou. That's how bad the road is. And he saw it. But all the roads, the point I'm making, the Prime Minister has given himself all of the roads to be repaired in this country. Et rien pour nous toutes les autres. C'est parliamentarians now, qui can represent, c'est mouna qui vote banoua. Even those on the other side. So many roads. Prime Minister Road, Minister of Communication and Roads. That's not fair. Everybody in this country pays tax.
Mr. Speaker, I think I should just at least not refute what he is saying, but at least clarify something. The reason why those roads were on a point of clarification, I said. Mr. Speaker, the reason why those roads were brought up is because there are two packages of road programs that will be addressed this year, and they include those roads, the Castries Urban Roads, and the second package, which is also listed there, which includes another set of roads. The other roads throughout the island, which are down for reconstruction and repair, fall part of the general road program of government.
Continue.
Mr. Speaker, that doesn't defy the point that I am making. That there is an imbalance in the way monies are being dispersed for road rehabilitation in this country. Some persons, because of their position, happen to get more than others. in a disproportionate way. That's the point I'm making, Mr. Speaker. And I'm saying that there are roads in this in my constituency that are in a dire need of some kind of relief. And when roads that some of them are almost in good condition. And that's the point I'm making, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the issue of the pay cut. That's a real shun, eh? Pay cut. Mr. Speaker, let me say categorically. This is a pay cut nonsense. Sorry, Mr. Speaker, what the members are trying to say about 10% pay cut. I will accept a pay cut only if the members take a pay cut on every source of income that they have. So those who have big companies, I heard the member for Denry North earlier said he's exporting millions of agricultural products. So he has a lot of money, contribute some of that to pay the public fund. Mr. Speaker, those of us on the opposition side, we cannot afford a pay cut. We cannot afford it. Because, Mr. Speaker, we do not have the facility to top up. Mr. Speaker, it's like a cell phone. When you don't have credit, you top up. Most of the ministers have top-up facilities. We don't have it. I don't know where it comes from, Mr. Speaker. And some of them have double bubbles. Based on who you are, you get double bubbles, and they will not accept it. So, Mr. Speaker, it's a sham. As a matter of fact, Honorable Prime Minister, you should be looking after the welfare of those of us on the other side, because we're feeling the crunch like everybody else. I will never get a facility to get a double bubble. The Honorable Prime Minister just likes the idea of a double bubble, and maybe that's why he is, that's why he knows so much about it. Mr. Speaker, I want to go to page 7 in the revenue estimate. Mr. Speaker, page 7. There is a figure of $7 million for motor vehicle license. And I really want to find out why so much. How does the government intend to raise so much money from vehicle license? I don't know. Is there something hidden? Are you going to have a massive charge for vehicle license to generate $7 million in one shot? In 1 year? Tell me, Honorable Prime Minister, you will explain that when you take the floor. I just want to be elucidated on that. Mr. Speaker, the issue of the VAT. Mr. Speaker, every economist in the world will tell you that VAT is going to cause an increase in the prices of everything. Because when you remove the consumption tax and the other duties at the port, your VAT is always a lot higher. The average VAT in the Caribbean is between 12 and 15%. When you remove all of the consumption duties and you aggregate them, it doesn't come to 9%. So there will be a higher percentage increase in the VAT. There will always be an increase in the VAT. So why are we misleading the country? Why are we misleading the country? Mr. Speaker, let me go to my constituency. I have cut short a number of things that I had there, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, let me make the point. And you see Soufre? You see this place called Soufre? I am passionate about it. Passionate about it. Because it is Soufre, Fontaine-Jacques, that caused this country to be alive. We have the biggest assemblage of natural beauty, tourist attractions than anywhere else in the world. And if you go back to the origin of tourism in St. Lucia, it started in Soufre. It is what Soufre had to offer. Tourism started in St. Lucia. And today, the people are suffering. Mr. Speaker, if the members opposite do not like me, do not make the people of Soufre suffer. If they do not like the St. Lucia Labour Party, do not make the people of Soufre suffer. Because nothing is happening in Soufre, apart from this sidewalk and Tikkanal. That's a Tikkanal government. And so, Mr. Speaker, I want to raise the following issues about my constituency. And I want the Honorable Member for Choiseul to defend me on this project. Mr. Speaker, there's a place called Deville. Deville is from Etang. It will take you through to Delta. There's a river, not one created by anybody, a natural river. It meanders. So the road crosses the river twice. We had some heavy rains sometime late last year. Going towards Delta, the second crossing of the river was undermined. No vehicle can pass, nothing can go through. So that somebody from Delta in the minister's constituency wanting to go to Sufre now has to go all the way from Shotel, come through Victoria and go down. Whereas before, they could just drive through Deville and get into Sufre. I am calling and pleading with the Minister of Communication and Works to give this bridge, whatever they're going to construct there, a priority, because a number of persons in this time of crisis are now incurring additional costs just for them to move from one point to the other point. Please, please, Mr. Speaker, I like to beg. I don't like to take people's money just like that. I like...
Honourable Member, there is somebody rising to...
Mr. Speaker, I would have taken every opportunity to defend the member for Sufre on this matter, except like in most things in which he's obviously behind time, and obviously not traversing his constituency as often as he should, the members of Sufre does not seem to realize that that river crossing was repaired over a month ago. So as a point of correction, I would like to inform the member that over a month ago, this matter was dealt with.
Continue, member from Sufre. And
Mr. Speaker, I'm surprised. I'm surprised at the minister. I'm surprised. Mr. Speaker, what I'm talking about, if the road is damaged today and you're going to repair it, do something that is going to last. Whatever was done there is just to backfill a big hole in the, it's already eroding. The member has not traveled. He has not gone there the last time because whatever that was done there has almost been completely eroded in spite of the fact that we haven't had heavy rains. What I am saying is that you should have at one time, build a bridge so that one time you resolve the problem. This is kind of piecemeal wasting money. I'm not in that. I'm speaking on behalf of the constituency. You should stand and defend me. It's blocking holes with teeth in the middle of the river. In no time does it collapse. It's collapsing already. Mr. Speaker, the relocation of the Barron's Drive people. $5 million in this budget for that. Mr. Speaker, this is a project that was started by the Labour Party. All the infrastructure was there. But what is going on there right now? Sakika Fet, a Crestland Sufri, a Tika Isa. Mr. Speaker, so by Maka accept it, yes. Number one, Mr. Speaker, when you want people to move from a place where they have lived for hundreds of years, family after family, and you want to take them out, you are not going with a mentality that they must move. Because you frustrate the people in the process. You have to appeal to the people, and there were a number of meetings held in Sufre, and I went to those meetings, and I supported the initiative. But what is happening there right now, Mr. Speaker? I have to speak against it, and the Minister for Housing is not there. Mr. Speaker, do you know that the project for the construction of the houses started? They are building between 5 and 10 houses right now, and they do not have one person from Barron's Drive working there. That an huge junk will not cut a vibe on La Pogea. Crew from Beaufort. Three of them from Beaufort, Patty Hack from Beaufort, other ones with the contract. I don't know where they come from Beaufort. Persons who are getting projects in Beaufort and they come into Sufre to deny the people of Sufre, auditions. So what are you saying? And the worst thing, Mr. Speaker, those persons who have the contract, your pièce là for Otikai, pour your Tichien. They can build nothing. These people, they build their own homes, and they employ somebody to build a home for you, for them. So how can you trust them that they know how to go and build a house for people to live. Already, the supervisor has found so many faults in the houses, structural defects in the houses. How do you know they're using the right concrete mix to put the pillars and to cast the foundation of those houses? They have no experience. And they have a track record of doing shoddy jobs all over the place. And you're giving these people to build houses for people to go and live. So because they're going to stop you, we can buy you anything. That's nonsense. That must stop. That must stop, Mr. Speaker. It must stop. If you want the people of Kwena to move, make them participate in the project from very early. So in that way, they'll feel ownership of the project. That's what, you don't have to go to university to learn that. You make them part, you give them, I submitted a list of more than 20 contractors from the Barron's Drive area and other parts of Sufre. They asked me to do it, I did it. You are by piece job. Mais même si vous n'avez pas fait tout projet qui souffre hier, c'est eux même qui n'ont tout ce qu'elle a fait. Et donc, il va me faire clouer, il va me faire read en ruler. And that's fair. So when the time comes for the people to move, you expect me to go in and tell them that they must move? That's not fair. Only flabbers getting working too fast. And flabbers themselves are complaining. They're complaining. C'est même texte là qu'a joué. Everywhere you go, canal pour faire, c'est même texte là. Fil pour manger, c'est même texte là. La rivière pour manger, c'est même texte là. Qui pont pour faire, c'est même texte là. Mr. Speaker, the factory. The factory. And the Minister of Agriculture is there. And I go back to the point of respecting parliamentarians. The Labour Party reopened the factory after Flabo allowed it to collapse and it's been closed for a number of years. The Labour Party opened the factory. There was production of coconut oil and other sets of byproducts of copper. There were more than 40 people working there. The factory is closed right now. The workers were sent home without a letter of termination or a letter to suggest to them why they were sent home. Nothing at all. They came one day to work at the factory to say the factory has financial problems. What did I do? I wrote to the Minister of Agriculture and I told the minister, please explain to me, please tell me what is happening to the workers, because they are coming to me and some of them have loans to pay the banks and they are asking me what is it that is happening with the factory. I mean, Mr. Speaker, they will come to me and that's what they elect me to do. The minister sent me a letter, a reply, and he says, in the letter, he is not the one that I should write to. In essence, I should write to the management of the factory. For crying out loud. Crying out loud, Mr. Speaker. If I had written to the management, they would tell me right to the board. The board would tell me right to the minister. The factory comes under the portfolio of the Minister of Agriculture because it is copra that is being processed there. So he doesn't know anything, he doesn't have anything to tell me. You think that's fair to me, Mr. Speaker? Tells me, don't address. And the minister knows because his ministry prepared a proposal to the bank to borrow about $1.5 million to build out the factory. At least he could have said so, because it came from his ministry. But what he would not say is that the reason why the factory, 4 months now, the factory is still closed, is because the minister does not understand due process in how you apply for funding from a financial institution. What I was told, and what my sources told me, is that the Ministry of Agriculture initially submitted the request for the loan, which you don't do, because the Honorable Prime Minister will tell you that any request for money must go through the Ministry of Finance. So the bank sent it back. and told them to go through the proper channel. And as a consequence of the ineptitude of the ministry, the factory is closed. But Mr. Speaker, more than that, they are breaking the law. Breaking the law. Because you cannot send workers at home for more than 3 months without telling them where their terminal benefits will come from. You cannot do that. You're breaking the law. It's 4 months now. 4 months. And that is why I said earlier, this is a government that is just inclined to do anything and break the law. The bank is now foreclosing on some of the workers because they cannot meet their mortgage obligation. And the Honorable Member for Kashmir South said it this morning, Mr. Speaker. We need to be treated better than that. The minister could have picked up the phone and said to me, we are trying to get it going, but we have a little difficulty. I would understand that. But not with that kind of contrite and contempt. Not that way, Mr. Speaker. The ministerium in Tufan, Mr. Speaker, another project started by the Labour Party government. From 2006, the project started. We are now in 2009, and you cannot finish a small stadium. But you know what is bad, Mr. Speaker? The minister for responsible for youth and sports came down to Sufa to a function to hand over the project to a management committee in Sufa. And the management committee was formed without my knowledge. Mr. Speaker, I want you to understand me well. The minister came down with a plaque, said the project is finished, handed the project to the people of Sufra, and left. Only to find that the project is not finished. There's no electricity in the place. The septic system is not working. And I understood that the contractor, C.O. William, I believe, is now holding the building to ransom because they have not gotten paid. And mind you, Mr. Speaker, you're talking about cost overrun. I will ask the question sometime later. How much did it cost? Because time is money. Because right now they have security working there, and I'm happy they have security earning money. Who is going to pay for the security on site every single day, every hour, for so long? And I want to know, when is the project going to be completed? That's an affront and an insult to the people of Sufre. Who passed the Mukati by Lafini. And when the infant school, when the children were supposed to have their sports meet and to use the facility, they're telling them they cannot come. You know what this has caused, Mr. Speaker? For 3 years, we have not had football in Sufre, no cricket. Because the equipment on site made it almost impossible to use the field. And here we are coming in the fourth year, and we cannot use the super playing field. Mr. Speaker, I have to say this in this Honorable House, Mr. Speaker, and I want the Honorable Member to tell the country, tell the people of Sufra, when will the mini stadium be completed? I want to know. Mr. Speaker, there's a youth skill training center that is being built in Sufra, and I have to say I'm happy it's been built. But you know what, Mr. Speaker? That project has also stopped. Also incomplete, stopped for almost a month, 6 weeks now. And you know why they told me it was stopped? Because the Ministry of Planning stopped the project because there was no approval for the project. Can you imagine that? Stop the project. So you have the shell there. Step back a VLAV, côté nettoyé, just standing there. And nothing is happening. And that is the way you're talking about, we borrowing and wasting money. And that's what you're doing. I like the idea of the center. It's good for Sufra. But the money that is being wasted could help the poor people that we're neglecting. Mr. Speaker, Fonse Jacques, qui a produit plus meilleur d'achin, yam, choupom, samadoz dans cette liste. Fonse Jacques. There are farmers in Fonse Jacques with thousands of heads of cabbage in the ground, Mr. Speaker. But the road to go there, the road to get to Dewash. And I've spoken about it before, and I'm speaking about it again. You know what happened, Mr. Speaker? I understood the Taiwanese, which I had to speak about it. I didn't have the time to speak about it. The Taiwanese built a road to a place called, I can't remember the name of the place, by Buto Side. Is there, yes, this is the continue. But the place is so remote that people don't know about. There's nobody. Famous Shinka was still there. And they build a road to go there. Taiwanese money coming. Towards birds. Taiwanese money coming, so they use it anyhow. No oversight, no supervision. That money was wasted because there is nothing. They don't have bananas, lapani dashin, lapani fig, lapani aye, but you fish him. And the road to Dewash, which is an important road, was neglected. The name of the place is Debot. How can you build a road to Debot, where there is no economic significance at all in that area? Good question. Who took the Taiwanese guy? I don't know. I wanted to speak about them, you know. The Bhutan road. Nobody wanted to help the people of Bhutan. Tout le monde dit anti-Belgian Bhutan pour Yéwanville. There was a school. They wanted to close the school. The Labour Party came, put water, electricity, telephone, everything for the people of Bhutan. The road cost over $1 million. Yes. Here is the conscience of the people. As though, how much money for 20 people? This is a significant question. It tells you the mindset of the people. If that road were in Kapa State, they would have one house and they would do it for the person. And they would say nothing. I have 20 people. And Bhutan is the most beautiful part of St. Lucia. You are allowing a community to collapse. You know what is happening right now? The people of Bhutan who are living in Kashmir are now coming back because of the infrastructure that was put there. They are now coming back to live and build their houses. They are now coming back, Mr. Speaker. The bridge, Mr. Speaker, that you have to cross. Mr. Speaker, the member for Shozel, let him speak about the people of... Bhutan is a community that is going to develop, and they have investors who have made approaches in the past for tourism development in Bhutan. There's a school in Bhutan. There is mass taking place in Bhutan. There are shops in Bhutan. You have minibus going up and down Bhutan. So don't tell me Bhutan is insignificant. You see the mindset of the people you put in office to represent you? You see the mindset? So because these poor people, j'habitation, j'habouton, parafanye bayo, si opte la, mais nous faye bayo. All I'm saying, the road is deteriorating in two sections, and I'm calling on the minister to pothole the road before it gets too bad. Because the mindset already is that they're going to abandon doing anything on that road. Because of any Mungara say, or tell Mungara say, Bhutan, Mr. Speaker, they have over 30 houses in Bhutan. The Boaden Road was constructed. Oh, I'm not from Chosen. Colombet. Mr. Speaker, we couldn't do every road in this country. We have to leave some for you all to do. We didn't do everything.
Honourable Member, you should be wrapping up. You have 3 more minutes to complete your meeting.
Mr. Speaker, Colombet. We need water in Colombet because Colombet is fast, it's growing rapidly into a tourism investment area. There are small properties being built there. There is a beacon where all of the members on the other side, they know they have no water there, and all we are asking is to try to tap the water from one of the several springs in the area and to pipe the water to the people of Colombet. Or right now they really need some assistance. I'm asking for the trucking of water to the residents of Colombet. New development, Mr. Speaker. I want to. There are a number of development projects in Sufren, Mr. Speaker, that really need to be rationalized because the developers started the project, and right now they have not handed the project to central government. It is still under their management, and so government can give assistance to these areas like new development and Myers Bridge because these projects have not been handed to central government, especially new development where the roads are deteriorating and they're not getting the services of the town council because they're not part of central government just yet. Mr. Speaker, I want to finally say that I want some assistance for the farmers in Chateau Belair and in all of the areas of Soufre. Mr. Speaker, as I do not have enough time and the members on the other side are afraid to allow me to speak even further, I want to thank my people of Soufre, Bouton, Myers Bridge, Chateau Belair, Bellevue, Fontaine-Jacques, Guadin, Quinlan, Palmis, Colombet, Bouton. I want to thank them and to tell them, for as long as I'm in this honorable house, I will stand and defend them. I will stand and defend them. Honorable Prime Minister, there is another issue I want to discuss with you. I had almost given up on it. I have given up on it already. But something is happening. I want to meet you in your office and so we could sit down and talk about it. And let us, I'm talking about the Soufre Foundation. Once and for all, let us do something and clear the air. I trust you will accommodate me. Don't do me like the Minister of Education. Why me to leave Soufre? And when I reach halfway, tell me he's going to a funeral. He cannot see me again. I made that point for you now in 1 week in advance. Yes. With the secretary. When I'm halfway going come up to the minister, come to the moon now, president, you can tell him not too sure, he patents them. Mr. Speaker, these are the things you go through. Mr. Speaker, I want to thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to, Honorable Prime Minister, I give you all my blows, but you know what I'm saying about you. What I have to say about you, I say to you straight, flush, not only. I say on the platform, I say it here, I say it on the radio. And you have to appreciate that. But as I said, innately, you are a good man, but you are being misled by your cabinet. Thank you very much.